So thank you all for coming along. My name's Chris Auld.
I'm Rex Vessels.
I work for Intergen.
Me too.
This session's called Line of Business in the Cloud. I probably thought I could have picked maybe a better title if I'd been thinking a bit more about it in terms of sliding it into the mini guide without a description. So what it's really all about is saying, how can we take all these awesome cloud assets, Dynamics CRM, Office 365? I thought that was my mic. I was thinking, yeah, some deep bass going on. So how can we take all these interesting cloud assets that we have now, Azure, Office 365, CRM Online, SharePoint Online, Twitter this, Skype that, and build rich line of business applications? Right, because when you... It's going to really pee me off. Because when you think about a line of business application, you think it's going to be typically a pretty complex application. So, one of the things we do a lot of at Intergen is we build quite a few demos. Right? And demos are good because you never have to ship them, you never have to support them. You can be a little bit adventurous, right? Step outside the boundaries and play with all the shiny new stuff. So what we thought we'd do is pick up some of the demos that we've built over the past sort of 6 to 9 months, and actually talk and walk a bit through some of those, how we've built them. We've got some follow-up blog posts that are going to land on the Dynamics CRM team blog, and we'll hopefully be able to chuck some of this code up and around the place over the next few months. It's not there at the moment, but it will be coming. So in terms of the demos that we're going to walk through, I'm going to start with Contoso Property. Rex, do you want to maybe briefly talk about Contoso Property?
Yeah, so Contoso Property is basically focused at a commercial retail company that specializes in renting and selling commercial property. And they've got a portal up in Azure, rich user experience for their customers. And they've got a Microsoft CRM 2011 cloud backend, basically, to manage their whole sales process and their engagement with their customers.
So we're going to drill into that one in a bit of depth. We built that one over Christmas this year with a pretty distributed team, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, and Niseko, Japan. No prize for guessing who was in Niseko, Japan. Tailspin Toys, we built for Convergence. That's AX plus CRM 2011 online plus Azure. All right, so the goal here is all of these things we build out. We're moving increasingly towards the whole lot being in the cloud. All right? And there's a bunch of reasons for that. One is everyone's in the cloud. Right, and it's really the approach that is being pushed by the marketing org. The other is it's actually a really great platform to build your demos in, right? Because you can consume them from anywhere in the world. There's no dependencies. There's no setup crap, right? And actually, those sort of artifacts that come from the cloud are really beneficial to particularly small to medium-sized enterprise as well. And the last one we're going to show, we're actually not going to show too much of Tailspin, but we are going to show a bunch around this app called Pros, which was done for the Worldwide Partner Conference. And what we're showing there is the ability to surface some rich UI over the top of these systems. So we've got both a Windows Phone app and an HTML5 tablet app to show you on a Windows tablet, not a new one, although we have tested on a new one, Android and dirty old iPad. Yeah, it's my dirty old iPad. I haven't seen that many iPads here. I don't know why. I thought this was quite funny as a little interlude because it's always good having a bit of shits and giggles on the way through. This is Joe from Ministry of Social Development. Joe works for Fabricam. Sometimes it feels like I work for Fabricam or Contoso or AdventureWorks. So I thought that was quite cool. Follow her on Twitter at GeekyTweet. So, prerequisite knowledge here. Ideally, you might know a little bit about CRM Online, Office 365, SharePoint Online, Azure. Good sort of general knowledge, but we don't have any core prerequisites. So we're going to talk a bit in some sort of high-level concepts. Doing this stuff is actually not a hard coding problem. The challenge is in how you wire it together. You've got all these disparate pieces, right, that are services, and it's how we orchestrate those services together. It's knowing which bits can talk to the other bits. All right? Because the approach that you might traditionally take for calling out to a web service just don't work. Right? So what are some alternative ways of routing communication between these various bits in the cloud? We're going to talk about decisions between running client-side code versus server-side code. We'll talk a bit about proxies and cross-domain calls. Then we're going to go through and walk through a couple of demos, one being Contoso, one being Prosware, where we'll talk about sort of the high-level approach that we took, and that's really just a bit of a diagram showing which bits in the cloud are we working with and where do the communications route for those. And then certainly for the first one, we'll drill into a bit of code. We probably won't for the second. We decided sort of a few minutes ago that it's a bit of a brain bender. And you'll see why it's a brain bender when I show you the diagram. So let's start by talking about sandboxes. So sandboxes basically allow us to, sort of in traditional terms, a sandbox allows us to run a piece of code in isolation from other pieces of code. Sandbox has been around for donkey's years, right? Who's Java background? So plenty of sort of sandbox concepts back in the Java background. And so the idea when we start thinking about multi-tenanted systems, this is going to piss me off, right? Multi-tenanted systems and all of these software as a service offerings, Office 365, SharePoint Online, CRM Online, and multi-tenanted offerings, right? The thing we're going to think about there is how do we manage the interference between various tenants, right? So that means one tenant's not breaking other tenant stuff, two tenants not hogging all the resources, right? And three, if tenants are shipping code up there, how do we ensure that their code is never in conflict? Obviously, we don't want them sharing assemblies. Right? So how do we provide isolation between their assembly stores? So if you think about the sorts of assets you're going to be deploying in the cloud, Azure's one of them. Who's done some Azure work? A few people. CRM Online's one of them. Who's done some CRM Online work? More people, awesome. And then SharePoint Online. Who's actually built some code for SharePoint Online? Cool. Right. So these are all the sort of tools that you're going to bring to bear. With all of these tools, you can write .NET code and run it up on the cloud. Each of them is effectively running a sandbox-type environment, but their sandboxes are very, very different in how they work. And it's important to get your head around how they work, because that, in many ways, dictates the sorts of restrictions they're going to place on you. So Windows Azure is the least restricted, right? Windows Azure, your sort of sandboxing mechanism, is a hypervisor. So what's a hypervisor really doing? It's effectively farming me out sort of a piece of stuff that looks and smells like an x86 processor architecture machine, right? What's the level of isolation I've got there? It's quite strong, right? It's a strong level of isolation because it is impossible, touch wood, for me to punch out of that hypervisor, right? So that means that the restrictions that are going to be placed on me when I work in that hypervisor isolated sandbox are very, very low. You can do pretty much anything you want to on Windows Azure. You can run pretty much any code you want. You want to run Java, knock yourself out. PHP, knock yourself out. C++, go for it. Really, the only thing you can't do is to funk down and do some kernel-level execution. Has anybody found themselves needing to do a significant amount of kernel-level execution in recent line of business system builds? Custom printer drivers, maybe, but unlikely, right? So at the end of the day, for $80 a month, there's your escape hatch. Right? You can run whatever you want. Obviously, you have to be able to get communications in there, and we'll talk a bit about the challenges of doing that shortly as we move across the graph. The next one is CRM Online. So CRM Online, its model of isolation is it gives you a separate Windows process for every single tenant. Right? Now, that is still a pretty strong level of isolation, right? Because they can then lock down with code access security and things, restrictions to ensure that you can't easily punch out of your process. Right? But there are still some challenges with that, right? If you've got one Windows process per tenant, what does that tend to infer about the sort of the relationship between tenants and the underlying hardware? We may potentially have more than one tenant on a given piece of hardware. So that means we've got to have a bit of a think about, you know, sure, we're isolated in terms of our process, but if I peg the CPU at 100%, right, as tenant A, tenant B gets upset. So the way that CRM handles that is CRM actually does some health monitoring of your worker process, and if you start pegging the CPU or if you use excessive resources, it basically whacks your code. and it whacks it pretty damn bad, right? So basically it says, I'm going to stop it running and it ain't going to run anymore. And you might have some kind of business critical logic in there, so you need to be aware of that. You need to be keeping an eye on it. You probably need to go the extra mile when it comes to testing code that you're going to execute up in the CRM sandbox. So the CRM sandbox basically is a thing that's called plugins, and plugins are a way of executing code when you make changes to the underlying data in CRM. Right? Change the data, effectively call a web service, that changes the data, it runs a execution pipeline, you can effectively hook into events in that and execute your code. Some of the restrictions you have there, no unmanaged code, right? Can't write no C++. You want to talk to some of these? No reflection? No local file system? I'm sort of trying to volunteer you, mate. I thought you were feeling all forlorn there. Right, no local file system. Hopefully that's fairly bloody obvious. Right? All of these have easy workarounds. No local file system, that's file use memory stream. Right? No reflection? Why do I usually want to use reflection? Because I want to be a badass and call private methods. Right? Can't do that. Probably a good thing. Right? You are working with a fairly tightly constrained CAS token. No registry access, bloody, bloody, blah. And you have somewhat limited outbound network connectivity. Can't talk directly to an IP address, have to do a DNS lookup. You can only use HTTP, HTTPS, so no talking out. You know, you can't write yourself a bloody T-SQL caller to go and talk to SQL Azure. Right? So it is limited, but you can make outbound web service calls, which is really, really useful, because then you get to SharePoint Online, and SharePoint Online don't allow any outbound network calls. Who's hit this already? Right? No outbound network calls. Major pain in the ass. Pardon my French. What are some of the reasons behind that? Well, it has an even lighter weight approach to your sandbox. So its sandbox is based on .NET app domains. Right? So they're all running in the same process. And the reason for that is the sandbox here was designed probably less for massive in the cloud multi-tenancy and more for code isolation running in enterprise-type environments. So expect to see probably that model change a bit in future versions. I don't know any more than you do, but I would expect to see that change a bit. The important thing to realise here is that you have limited access to the SharePoint object model. You work with a pretty pared-back SharePoint object model, and you have no outbound network access. That's really important, right? But we might come back to that. So, yeah. There comes a question when you're writing these applications as to where do I want my code to run, right? Because you can't, you don't have full fidelity on the server anymore. Yes, you can execute .NET code, but there are a bunch of things that you can't do, right? Because you're always extending the context of that sandbox. However, your code is always running, right? So there are some benefits of being on the server, but your process capacity may be throttled. So SharePoint Online and CRM Online both have the potential to throttle you. The other option is to potentially run your code on the client side. So to squirt some .NET code or even some JavaScript code down to the client machine and actually run that execution there. Now, you are still in somewhat of a sandbox there, right? There are still restrictions in terms of outbound network connectivity and cross-domain calls. But you typically have as much CPU as you want. Right? You ain't going to get thumped for that. So you actually need to make... Except by the user closing the window. Exactly right, Rick. So you may get thumped by the user. So what you've got to remember here is if you're going to run stuff on the client machine, you've got to be cognizant that it may not be running all the time. Because there are things that you might want to do. You might want to effectively proxy outbound traffic out of SharePoint Online, proxy it through a client to another service. What do I mean by that? Drop a message into a SharePoint Online list, have your client call it with the client-side object model, pick up the message, go and call a web service, and then return the result back into the SharePoint list. Now you think, God, that sounds absolutely disgusting, but hey, needs must, folks. Right? That is a valid pattern for building these types of applications. CRM Online. So client-side code here. Who's familiar with ISV applications? So it used to be with CRM that you'd sort of build an iframed piece of application code that you'd sort of embed into your CRM app. That was great, but it was an iframe. It required ASP.NET on the server. You can't do that anymore. right? Not an online anyway, right? So you're not able to execute arbitrary ASP.NET code up on the server. What you can do, though, is take that code and instead of writing in ASP.NET, write it in Silverlight and actually have that fed down to the client machine and have all the processing occur on the client. Right? So instead of ASP.NET calling the CRM web services, you've got Silverlight calling the CRM web services. All the execution happens locally. So these are quite different patterns. So, the SharePoint sandbox, right? In normal times, you want SharePoint to talk to CRM. So, that sounds pretty bloody easy. We'll make a web service call, right? Why doesn't this work? No outbound connectivity out of the SharePoint sandbox. Okay, that's easy. We'll take a different approach. We'll proxy it via Silverlight on the client. Is that going to work? Doesn't. Should, I think, but doesn't. Who wants to guess why it don't work?
I heard it over there.
Cross domain. What a total pain in the neck. So, when Silverlight, right, because it's got its own little sandbox, wants to make a call to a domain other than the one from whence it came. So it came from mycompany.sharepoint.com, right, down to here, and it's now trying to call to mycompany.crm.dynamics.com. First thing it does is it says, please give me whack client access policy.xml to see if I'm allowed to make a cross-domain call to this server. CRM Online does not have a client access policy XML file. Please provide that feedback to the team. I do regularly. Would be very, very useful. All right. So, what do we do instead? We do something like this. All right. So we effectively, now again, you probably wouldn't do it like that. You'd probably have Azure pick it up directly. But you need to, at the moment, you need to very often use a Windows Azure proxy that sits in front of CRM Online when you're building these sorts of applications. All the demos we're going to talk about today have some sort of Windows Azure proxy that sits in front of this stuff and does a variety of different things. So the first is it provides that cross-domain support. So we've got some examples of proxies where all they do is they inject a client access policy, that XML file. They pass everything else through. All right, some of the other things you might want to do with your proxy. So you might want to use your proxy to boost performance. CRM's web services are not the fastest things in the world. I think everybody would agree with that who's used CRM. Right? So you might want to do some sort of intermediary caching. Great way to do that. Use Windows Azure. Use the AppFabric caching service, which is awesome. Right? Boost your performance. You may need to do some protocol remapping. So you may have a client that can only, well, you may have a client that is only nice doing RESTful calls. Right? Writing SOAP calls in JavaScript is not fun. Right? Writing REST calls in JavaScript is a piece of cake. Get jQuery, 4 or 5 lines. Right? Piece of cake. So you may want to do some protocol remapping. So you may want to expose your proxy as a RESTful endpoint and then think through and consume CRM on the SOAP endpoint. There are some things you can't do on CRM's REST endpoint. And you may want to do some security obfuscation anonymization. If you wanted to talk directly from the client to SharePoint or the client to CRM Online, right, you potentially have to be authenticated. Right? You may not want to be authenticated. You may want to be anonymous. So you go anonymous to Azure with your proxy, and then Azure holds your authentication credentials, and it goes authenticated onto the following web services. So, any questions on that sort of high-level discussion? Stunned amazement. Awesome. Have people been building stuff like this? A few of you must have. Yeah, it's kind of new because it's kind of only all just shipped in the last 6 months. If I was doing a startup business tomorrow, I'd build it out like this, right? I own a company called MedRecruit. We use CRM plus a bunch of stuff. Run a recruitment company out of Queenstown and Gold Coast. If I was starting it again tomorrow, I'd build it out in the cloud like this. Just a no-brainer. Anyway, we're going to show you, Rex is going to kick off because I've spoken enough. We're going to show you the Contoso property all-up demo. So this is a demo that we built for the launch of CRM 2011 back in January. No. No. So CRM has this thing called the Azure Service Bus that you can use for communications in and out. I haven't used it a lot. It hasn't really buzzed me. I mean, yeah, it landed there because some team members. Anyway, no, we won't go there. Right.
Okay, so I've been pretty quiet during your...
You have been. I'm going to be good.
But I bet you Chris will be quiet during mine.
I'm going to be really good.
Yeah, right. Okay, so first off, I'm going to... So we've got Contoso Property Management. So I want to show you from two perspectives. First of all, from the client's point of view, and then we're going to jump into CRM as a salesperson and do the rest of the demo there. Okay, so I'm going to start off with my favorite search engine. And I'm going to search for Contoso Property because I'm in the market for some property for my startup company.
Now, originally we had Bing advertisements set up, but of course it was getting quite expensive bidding on commercial property keywords on Bing, so we had to turn those off. Sorry.
That didn't take very long.
No.
Okay, and lo and behold, first hit, Contoso Property Management of cloudapp.net. So, it's our portal up in Windows Azure. Open that up. There we go. Awesome. So, on our portal, we've got some great properties. You can browse through them, see one that you like, go into it, look at the details of the property. And all of the information on this portal gets pulled out of CRM live. So, as you browse to the page, it goes off to CRM, gets the data and shows it to you. So if you look at the property address or the property area, all of that is pulled out of CRM as the page loads. At the bottom here, we've got a full-featured Bing Map Silverlight control showing you the location of the property. And we've built in pretty much all of the features of the Bing API, so you can switch to a street-side view, familiarize yourself with the intersection if you want to go see the property. You can jump out into a bird's eye view, get an overview of what the location looks like, or just look at it from a map point of view. We've also got some interesting features here, so you can type in an address and see how long it would take you to commute there, or we've picked some cities or towns in the close by area to show the sort of commute that you will have if you stay in those kind of areas. And that's all using the Bing services to get route plotting and displayed on the map. At the bottom here, we can also highlight attractions like nearby parks, pop-up and bubbles, or restaurants. Me personally, I love ice cream, so I want to see if there's any ice cream shops in the nearby vicinity. Look at that. Just across the road. Frozen Dairy. There we go. I'm sold. Where do I sign up? Right here. Inquire with the agent. So once you click on that, it pops up a little form so you can fill in your details and let our sales agent know that you're interested in the property. So just give me a second while I fill this in.
Well done. That was quick.
Nice and quick. A little demo shortcut. Okay, so two things that I just want to highlight on here is we've got a Twitter handle that we're going to use later on, and also some business keywords. So we want to know about your business to make sure we map the property to your business. Okay, so I'm going to submit that, and that's going to go straight into CRM online. And that's pretty much the end of the customer interaction for the time being. Now I'm going to switch over to...
Do we want to show the phone?
Oh, yes.
We should show the phone. You switch over, and I'll get a phone out.
Okay, so yeah, we've also got, you know, if the guy goes to the property outside, there's a big sales board that looks something like that.
I was really good. I turned my phone off.
No, I didn't.
That wasn't such a good idea, given I'm going to show my phone in a demo.
Yeah. And on our property, we've got...
And we've got a tag reader?
Microsoft tag reader.
We've got Microsoft tag on their phone. No one. Shame on you all. So what we've got, what we've got here is we've basically got what would be your property board, and the idea was that you could come along and hopefully snap the tag, and that will then take you out to the other...
I've got it up over there, Chris.
You got it up where?
Yeah, all right. And yeah. So this is just inside a browser, but imagine this is on your phone. It's nicely shaped to fit exactly on your phone. So nice mobile experience, show you some images of the property. You can scroll down, you can get the details of the property. And once again, because on a phone you don't like to type a lot, we've got two sections on there. You can either email the listing to yourself, so you just type in your email address, and we'll send you some information about the property with a link to the full portal site. Or if you're really adventurous, you can actually fill in all your details at the bottom here, or once again, click on the button to fill it in for you.
I wish all forms came like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I disturbed you from jumping into CRM.
Yeah.
So I've been pretty non-talky, though.
Good. So, where's my... There we go. Okay, so now I'm going to switch to CRM as David Alexander, our salesperson. So he starts off his day by looking at his dashboard. And I'm just going to refresh this list because this says recent leads. So as I refresh that, you'll notice that Jeff Price, the guy that I've just captured, is right on top of my list. So you can see that integration working instantly. So on our dashboard, dashboards in CRM 2011 is absolutely fantastic. Who's played with those? Anybody?
Who's built their own dashboards in previous versions of CRM?
Yeah, so what we've got here is a great dashboard, standard out-of-the-box list of leads, some graphs. This is the out-of-box graph, custom graph.
So the custom graph's kind of cool. The custom graph, you can basically just take the piece of XML that defines it and just do a little bit of tweaking and then re-upload the XML and you get a custom chart. So we basically took that chart, we've added multiple axes to it, multiple lines. You can do scale breaks, the whole nine yards.
3D graphs, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, good place to learn about that is in the CRM 2011 Developer Training Kit, which we'll give you a link for at the end. There's a post on my blog somewhere too around multiple axes and a few things. I was meant to jump in there too.
Yes, you were.
It was in the script.
So at the bottom here, we've got two Silverlight controls. So we've got a Twitter control, which basically shows us our company's tweets, as well as some stats. Unfortunately, we're not quite this popular, so this is a little bit of mock data over there, but it gives you an idea of what you can do. And on the right-hand side, we've got a very similar Bing map implementation again, this time for the salesperson, so you can see all these properties. You can see that somebody scanned the tag of this property in the last 24 hours. That's why it's green. And you can do some quick filtering to find some properties if somebody gives them a call about it. There's also this feature to go full screen, which is great. So the CRM out-of-the-box graphs, you can also blow them up. And if you make your own controls, you can make them blow up.
So that's kind of cool. So we've just gone to a full screen view out of our dashboard. Now, if you think about certain CRM scenarios, there are scenarios where you actually want to have a piece of CRM functionality that someone uses 8 hours a day. Your job is in the call centre, cold call the customer. Are they interested? Yes, no. What are they interested in? Option 1, 2, or 3. You probably don't want to do that in a standard CRM form. All right? So what do you do? Well, actually, let's build a Silverlight component, and let's have a full screen view, and you can sit there, and all you ever see all day, you don't even know you're using CRM. All you're using is the Silverlight component to go, are they interested? Yes, no. What's the option? 1, 2, 3. Does that make sense to people? Does it run fine on Mac? No. The reason for that is that CRM does not support Mac at the moment. So CRM makes extensive use of lots of whiz-bang features that have been around quite a while in Internet Explorer. There is a commitment from Microsoft to broaden the browser support in the next release of CRM. But right now, the Silverlight stuff probably does work on Mac, I'd say. Well, almost certainly,
yeah.
Except for the authentication issue, which means we have to go through a proxy, right? Because we need to authenticate to CRM. CRM, as soon as it sees us, says you're on a Mac, bugger off. So we can't get past the authentication hurdle, after which we can then show you the Silverlight control. So, short answer, no. Long answer, you just had it. No Chrome, no Firefox. Yeah. Yeah. For the CRM UI, right? Which is, it means you are restricted to a Windows browser. You're restricted to IE as the browser. If you're on Mac, it's Parallels, etc. to make that happen. Go come to my session tomorrow, I can show you some of the approaches for that. But you really do want to have your users using the CRM UI, which means using IE, and there are ways to do that. The CEO at MedRecruit uses a Mac. He seems to be pretty happy that it just works. No. The customer stuff is all standards compliant stuff. It's the CRM. You just want to skate back out of there, Rex. It's the CRM based UI here that is IE only.
Yep. So this is for internal
users. Internal, yeah, back office users.
Yeah. Okay, so as you can see, we've got a full featured map here. So next thing that I want to do is I want to look into this lead that's interested in one of our properties. So I'm going to open up Jeff's record. Now, because our website is public and anybody can fill in any information, we've got to empower our salespeople just to process that information and see if it's garbage or if it's an actual lead.
We just call it filtering out the tire kickers at Intergym.
Yeah. So what we've done there is, we've asked for the Twitter account, so we've got a little Twitter widget that just goes and pulls off the recent tweets for that company. So you can see, yep, they've got a Twitter account that looks semi-decent. We've also got a built-in search with Bing button next to our company name. So you click on that and it'll go fire off a search in Bing and you can see, oh, yep, they look like they're an actual company. Hey, they've also got a portal in. And there's Azure, lo and behold.
Whose Azure account's this running in? It must be mine.
Yes. Yeah. It's all okay, so now that we know this customer is an actual customer, we can go do some research. Now, you might have noticed I typed in photonics in the business keyword. Now, as a salesperson or even as a developer,
who knows what photonics is?
What it is?
Anyone in the room? What? Headphones. That's phonics.
There we go. Well done.
Not just the pretty faces, Regan. Eh?
So what we've done for the sales agent is to go and find a Bing definition for the keywords entered. And we've also got links to Bing and Wikipedia to go and research it even further. But another fantastic feature that we've used is the CRM 2011 connections. Who's played with those? Those are awesome. It really allows you to give that fuzzy connection between any two records in your system that you don't get in a standard relational database. Even though it's got some relational magic in the background, it just...
It's a little bit like a tagging mechanism. You can sort of create ad hoc relationships with any piece of data you want to in your system. It's kind of neat.
So we've got a plugin that takes any keywords that you've entered and create connections between the lead and the keyword. And then we've got this view that shows you any other connections in the system on that keyword. So basically, I can see that Jeff Price is connected to that. I can also see one of our recent customers, Litware Inc. They're actually a supplier, so that's a nice talking point. And Kim Akers, one of our users, she actually studied photonics, so I can always use Link to initiate a chat with her and see if I can get some experience from her in dealing with this customer. Great. So that's all good. So I'm going to qualify this lead into contact opportunity. Open the windows.
And this is out-of-the-box CRM stuff. So you get a whole lot of stuff out-of-the-box with CRM online.
Okay, so we've got a whole lot of aspects to this demo. There's a whole service scheduling side to it. I'm not going to go through all of that detail. We've also got quite an extensive sales process workflow where you have to reserve the property and write up documents and things like that. But just one of the things that I want to highlight is the integration with SharePoint. So Contoso's got an Office 365 account with SharePoint, and CRM 2011's got out-of-the-box integration with SharePoint, which is great. But we've taken that integration and extended it a bit. So once we create an opportunity, we go and provision a document library within SharePoint for the opportunity, and we also pre-populate it with some templates for the salesperson to use.
So we basically do some document generation and pre-generate sort of the pro forma PowerPoint deck that the salesperson is going to use to go and pitch that property to the customer. So again, all online, right? It's all happening in the cloud. There's no Word running anywhere, no PowerPoint. It's just being done in the cloud.
So there we go. So if I click on Documents, usually out of the box, it will ask you to enter a new SharePoint location. We've already provisioned one, and pre-populated it with those templates. So the salesperson can just pop in, fill in the details, send it off to the customer. There's a property presentation that he can walk through, everything.
So one little artifact you will notice here, which is a result of the age of the demo being before SharePoint Online shipped, is that we effectively just wrapped a SharePoint page here. If you come to my session tomorrow talking about the details of integrating CRM and SharePoint, I'll show you a thing called the CRM list component that basically gives you a CRM-like view inside SharePoint. So again, you know, that's why it looks a little bit funky for those of you who have seen it before.
Is that working online now?
It works, yeah. I got a little treat tomorrow. I'm running it on the internal builds of SharePoint Online.
I see that. Okay. I think that's the end of the demo, actually.
It is. Right. Yeah. Okay, so we're actually going to jump in and do a bit of build work on this shortly, but I thought we'd sort of, because the thing with these demos is a whole crap load of moving parts. Let's have a bit of a sort of a recap as to what we did there. So, is this bloody working? Oh, I might have turned it off. Did I turn it off? Piece of shit. I think I was fiddling to try and keep myself from chatting. Okay, so we started off with the outside customer. They loaded up IE. They hit a Windows Azure portal with IE. That portal trotted off to Dynamics CRM using the web services, pulled back some data, sent both that data down and the Silverlight app down. That Silverlight app, in turn, turned around and it made two calls out. It made a call out to Bing and grabbed data from the Bing services, and it made a call out to Windows Azure, which effectively was acting as a proxy server that passed the call on to CRM. Right. So our Silverlight talked to Bing directly, talked to CRM. The phone bit that we didn't show properly, but the idea there was you scan the tag. Effectively, all that Microsoft Tag does is do a redirect. It's going to send a redirect back to our phone, redirect it to Windows Azure, which again is just going to emit HTML by going and fetching some data from CRM Online. If we then think about the internal view, so the back-end office view, so again, hitting CRM Online with IE, getting back HTML. And in the case of that first dashboard, there was a piece of Silverlight, but for the most part, it's HTML. This is the lead form. So the lead form had that Twitter component. That Twitter component was just HTML. And in fact, we're going to show you how we built that shortly. All right. The other thing that happened is we had CRM Online hitting SharePoint Online to do some document generation. So that was code executing in a sandbox plugin in the CRM Online sandbox. That obviously can talk outbound. It authenticated against SharePoint Online, and it then went and created documents inside SharePoint Online. So again, you need to think about how you link these things together, because only some services can talk to other services, right? And then finally, in IE, when we go back and hit CRM and view that SharePoint document library, it's grabbing an HTML page and an iframe, right? And it goes and uses that iframe to retrieve the document list out of SharePoint Online. So again, this stuff isn't rocket science, but you kind of need to know how all these bits are gluing together. Otherwise, it can get quite confusing. We'll talk quickly about a thing called web services, because we're about to show you what web resources are. And they basically provide that mechanism for client-side extensibility in CRM Online. So you saw things like the Bing control that we had in the dashboard and the Twitter widget that we had on the lead form. We're actually going to jump in, and Rich is going to show you how we built that Twitter widget. What I want to really call out here is just how easy it is to build quite rich experiences by going and cribbing stuff off the internet. Right, because software development these days is not a lot of novation. It's quite a lot of Bing searching and cribbing stuff off the internet. And then I've got a little competition for you. Who likes competitions? Good. Over to you, man.
Great.
Sorry.
No worries. Okay, so I'm going to show you how we built that Twitter widget. So basically, I go over to Twitter. You don't even have to log in. You just go to resources. They've got the widgets over here. And we want a widget for my website. And they've actually got a couple of widgets available. This profile widget, which will show you tweets from a specific user, or search widget, so you can put in search criteria like the tens or nuggets or things like that. And a couple of others that you can do. So you can play around with that quite a bit. I'm just going to show you the profile widget just to make it easier. So I'm going to use Fab. And one thing that I want to do is just make it auto width. Testing, let's see if it works. There are. Yeah, thank you. There we go. And yeah, you can play around with the colors and all kinds of things. I'm just going to leave it standard. Grab the code. So let's put it on my clipboard. And then I'm going to go over to Visual Studio, or you can use Notepad if you want. So I've got just a plain standard HTML file here. I'm going to paste the Twitter code inside my body. And then what I want to do is actually hook it up to CRM. So to do that, first of all, I'm going to grab a parameter that we're going to send to the web resource, and I'll show you where I get that. So I'm going to go...
So what we want to make is so that we can pick this web resource up, stick it on any form, and then we can actually pass in a parameter, which is the field on the CRM form we want it to bind to. All right, so it then becomes effectively a reusable parameterized control.
Okay, so basically a bit of an ugly method, but I'm just going to grab the substring of the search. So the parameter will be passed on the query string, and it will say ?data equals whatever your parameter is. So I'm just going to substring that first part out and grab the last bit. Then I'm going to get the value of that field out of CRM.
Is that legible, folks? It is? Sorry, we had some resolution issues. It's not? It's okay. Did you just zoom in, Rex?
Yes.
Awesome. So how are you getting that nice auto sense there, Rex?
I actually haven't included there is a script file that you can attach, and then you actually get IntelliSense for CRM objects.
Yeah.
I haven't got that, but yeah. Attribute start. So now you're throwing me off, Chris.
What? Am I putting you off?
Okay.
I'm terrible.
Fields.
How do you get any work done?
When you're out of the office.
How often am I out of the office?
All the time.
No wonder you're so productive.
So let's just try and read that. So I'm going to embed this into an iframe. So I want to jump up. So I get my Windows parent, which is CRM. I grab that XRM.page object. You can read about that in the SDK. So that's basically just grabbing hold of the CRM stuff that they give you in the JavaScript. On there, you grab the data, the entity, you get the attributes, and then you search for the field that you want. So the field that I've got in my parameter there. I get its value, and I assign that to handle. And now all I have to do is go and tell Twitter, instead of running on Fabric, it needs to run on my handle. That's basically it. So I'm going to save this as...
And Rex is going to publish all this on his blog afterwards, so you can go and pick up both the underlying code and a CRM solution package that you can install onto your CRM server. So what we're going to do is we're now going to take that piece of code that we built, we're going to turn it into a web resource. We're going to build that web resource in the context of a CRM solution package. A solution package is a bit like sort of a way to ship all the artifacts that make up a particular piece of functionality on CRM. So you may have a big solution package. You might build a CRM-based recruiting system and ship that as a solution package. But equally, you might just build a bunch of custom controls and widgets like we're building here, and ship those as a solution package. So we're going to build it in the context of a solution package.
Okay, so I just created a solution. I'm just adding the lead entity because I want to modify that. No, I don't want to include anything else. And I've got to create a web resource. So now you can go off and explain what a web resource is, Chris.
So a web resource is basically a piece of content that we store in the database and then serve up over HTTP, protected by all the security permissions of CRM. Right, so it means that we can take this piece of Silverlight, stick it in the server, put it in the database somewhere. I don't want to care about the file system because I'm working in CRM online and I want the whole file system to be virtualized. But I want to get this back via HTTP because I want to take it as a JavaScript library and squirt it into some logic on my form. Or I want to take it as a piece of Silverlight and drop it into my form. Or I want to take it as HTML, include it in an iframe and put it in my form. Right? So it's quite a nice way of effectively giving us a user-editable virtualized file system that we can access over HTTP.
Great. So I've taken that HTML file, I created a new web resource, and you can see now you've got a hyperlink to that web resource that you can use somewhere else. But if you do form customization, you don't even need that. So I'm going to go back to my solution, go and find my lead entity that I want to customize, and go to the forms. Now, what I actually want to do is I don't want to change...
You don't want to do it there. No, you probably want to...
What I'm going to do is I'm going to save it as a new form, so then you can explain what different forms mean.
Is that in the script? So we can have multiple forms in CRM 2011. What that allows us to do is potentially create, for a given set of data, different views of that data. So you might, for example, have a really cut down... sort of paired back view with lots of pretty charts and graphs and animations, all that sort of shit for your chief executive, right? And then you have a form that actually does something for all the rest of your staff, right? And effectively you can either, based on the user's role, you can choose to show them a different form. So we can say, show this form to the CEO and show the other form to everybody else. Or you can allow the user to actually select that particular form. I think Rex has done it because he already had the Twitter control on another.
Yeah, I'm just adding it on another one. It's going to have both of them. So over here, I can either add an iframe and use that URL that you saw, or you can actually just add a web resource, which is probably a better idea. So I want to, what did I call it? Did anybody see? Tweet. Yeah, I think so too. That one. Yep, great. Let's give it a name. And then over here, customer data, custom parameter data. This is where I'm going to pass the field to my web resource that contains the Twitter handle, and that's a little JavaScript that's going to grab the value from that field. So that was called contos underscore Twitter account, I think. Hopefully. And there is. I'm just going to leave as standard, and let's just see what it looks like. Okay, so there's my standard Twitter control, and I've just added this one. So let's go and save this form and publish it. And let's go see what it looks like. Somebody just captured a lead.
Which one of you cheeky jokers is playing with our demo? No, it has to be encouraged. It's part of doing cloud demos, right?
Yeah.
Everything's live.
Okay, so you can see the Twitter control is not there, and that's because I put it on a double tweet form. So if I change form, if your security role allows you access to two forms, you can actually select the form that you want. And there we go.
So that's pretty cool. So we've now got this reusable widget. So I think that's pretty cool. So, I said I have a little competition for you. And this only requires that you have Notepad, because what you can do is you can build all of this with online bits. So, I'm going to offer you a challenge. Build a Skype web resource. So if we have our Skype handle in a field, let's actually make a web resource that we can chuck in there that gives you a click-to-call button next to it. Right? So for everybody who enters, I'll grab some goodies out of the Intergen swag cupboard when the marketing manager's gone and I can get the key. For the best entry, I'm going to dish up a $100 dinner voucher in the city of your choice, as long as you put the winning entry up on CodePlex under the Microsoft permissive license. Regan's going to keep me honest. Entries by next Friday to crystal@intergen.co.nz. Results and commentary at syringe.net.nz, and I can probably swing you a guest blog post on the Dynamics CRM team blog out of Redmond where you can talk about how you built it. So what I'm thinking here is you'd basically, if you've got a Skype account name field, build a web resource that effectively fits in that space, and instead of being a full-length text box sort of chops off there and has the little Skype button that you can use to click to call. You can build all of this with CRM Online. You honestly only need Notepad to do it. And this is going to be your opportunity to make your first foray into building some customizations out on top of Dynamics CRM.
You can sign up for a free online trial.
Free Dynamics CRM Online account, right? I encourage everybody working with Dynamics CRM to have a regularly refreshed Dynamics CRM Online account. Every 30 days it expires, go create a new one. Use that as your developer sandpit. Anyone from Microsoft here? Right, that's your developer sandpit. It's really, really useful to have a developer sandpit. Okay, I think we will skip that one, and we'll have a look at Prosware.
Cool.
Right. So Prosware is something quite different altogether. So Prosware is really all about building a rich experience, as close as we can get to Windows 8 type experience, without it being Windows 8, and then hanging that across the front of CRM Online. We'll start with that sort of how it's bolted together diagram here, because it's kind of a bit unique. In fact, there should be a Windows Phone logo there somewhere. There's a Windows Phone logo there, it's just not showing. So, primary consumer, i.e. Safari on iPad, Bob browser on Android, whatever the hell they call it, some interesting derivative, all right? That's going to consume a web app, basically a web page out of a Windows Azure web role. And then the page comes down, and embedded in that page is the data that we want to work with in JSON format as data islands. All right, so we basically just squirt the data into the HTML page, send it down to the client. That web role, because we think that CRM Web Services are a bit slow for this purpose, right, we want to pull that data out of the cache. So we have the app fabrication service, and we have a Windows Azure worker role that periodically and quite regularly goes and hits the CRM services and updates that data in the cache. Right? And then we pull that data out of the cache. So basically we're making SOAP calls up here, and then we are, remember that passion I said where you might want to do some protocol changing? We are effectively protocol changing that we're reformatting the data from a SOAP response, right, into a JSON serialization, caching it as JSON, so then we can go and pull it straight through as those JSON data islands. We also have a Windows Phone client that consumes the JSON web services directly. So, let's have a look at this actually working. And I was going to show it all on my machine, wasn't I?
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll start with it running in IE. So this is a Metro-style app running in IE. I've got a multi-touch tablet here so I can jump in. This is all HTML5, right? So it's HTML plus JavaScript. There's a hell of a lot of JavaScript. I still don't quite get the whole HTML5 plus JavaScript thing. I don't know why you'd want to go back to the 90s. So we can reformat this. We've used a bunch of third-party libraries here, including quite a nice third-party charting control. So we can do some pretty neat-looking stuff. This stuff gets CEOs excited. And folks, at the end of the day, the guy who signs the checks, right, is the CEO, so you want to get him excited. Right, this helps get him excited. So that's the application running on a Windows tablet, and that's really just it's just IE. If I then get my camera out, and we have a look at it running on Android. So this is the same app running on an Android tablet. Do you want to drive, Rex?
I have. Can you see it?
Yep. Who's seasick yet? Right, so if you drive that, so again, we have a similar sort of thing. We didn't optimize it for these tablet experiences, so it's not super fast. Right, they don't have super fast JavaScript engines. Right, but you get a similar, you know, full fidelity experience, and again, apart from the slowness, you are getting the same user experience on an Android tablet. All right, and then we'll get out the dirty old iPad. Because we'll get exactly the same thing there. And this is an iPad 1 in the nice yellow case. Right, so we can do... Yes, we can. We can do exactly the same thing there. Right, so we get a pretty decent cross-platform experience on a tablet that is, you know, at the very least good enough to take out and show to customers, right, as to what can be done. And then the last thing we had, we will switch to your machine because we'll show the phone experience.
Yeah, so we've also built a Windows Phone app with a little bit more functionality on it. So this is your landing page. You get a couple of options there. You'll see that, yeah. Move over to the sign, and you can see recent tweets. Scroll through those. You can post some updates. Move over, you can see the record feeds. So this is all based on new features that's going to be released at the end of the year for CRM.
So there are some new features in CRM around social media. We kind of mocked them up for a demo. Gave us a Photoshop and we built them quickly. So it might not look exactly like this. But again, this Windows Phone app is consuming those same services out of Windows Azure's web role, right? And that Windows Azure web role is in turn dropping into the app fabrication service where it's getting its data from, and that worker role is keeping the caching service updated. Right, so these are some of the sorts of patterns that you need to use to actually start to build these things out so they are all running up in the cloud.
So we're going to show you the code, but the reason we decided not to do it is basically, especially the graph data, it takes a while to get that data surfaced. You know, generating a report and reporting services, it takes a little bit of a while, and users are used to it. But for a demo on stage in front of 10,000 people, the Microsoft guys don't want to wait 5 seconds or 10 seconds for the thing to load. They want it instant. And that's why we had to put in a whole caching platform in the middle and make sure the data's up to date and we can just grab the latest and keep it refreshed.
So as I said, there are a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah.
Right? And you will find that with these all-in-the-cloud solutions, there are quite a lot of moving parts. And you do have to, it is worth drawing a picture of what you're building before you go and start cutting code. So... hopefully we've shown you that you can actually build reasonably complex business apps all in the cloud. Right? As I said, if I was doing a new medium-sized business tomorrow, I'd be taking this approach to build it. You've got to use the sandbox, and you've got to use a variety of workaround patterns with that. In particular, you've got to think about how you deal with some of those restrictions in the SharePoint sandbox, particularly that inability to make outbound calls. At the end of the day, Azure always provides your escape hatch. Right. If you don't think, if you're banging your head against a wall, don't seem to be able to solve it, you can always solve it with Azure, right? Because you can do basically anything you want to do. And with that, we're probably finished. We've finished the time.
Yep.
Happy to take some more questions. We did take them throughout, which is always good. We're hoping to ship some of this code over the next few months, so you can actually grab the bits and play with them yourself. And as soon as that happens, we will post it on Twitter, and we'll put it on my blog, and put it on the Integer blog. So follow all those sorts of things, and you'll see when it lands. We haven't found the need to go and warm stuff in the cloud too much. There's probably some value for CRM Online, just the way that's run. But no, we haven't found that we haven't found variable performance like you'd typically get. If it was a SharePoint demo and we had a virtual machine here and a CRM machine here, yeah, we'd have a PowerShell script that goes and whacks everything so it warms up. But we haven't.
Very much much. Yeah, every time I've opened up Contoso property, it's just...
We haven't seen... I mean, the issue there is obviously if the app domain recycles, but we haven't really seen a lot of problem with the app domain recycle. I'm not sure what the default is there. I think it's 24 hours. You get an app domain recycle, so it's not too bad. We were playing with it an hour or so ago.
Yeah,
you got to keep them warm, right? But again, you know, it's pretty easy to keep them warm. You've got Windows Azure, so you just put... you don't need to separate Windows Azure Web and Worker roles, folks, right? Everything Microsoft goes out, they show all this sort of best practice crap that separates your Windows Azure Web and Worker roles. A web role is a worker role with IIS installed in it. If you want to do stuff in the background, you can do that on your web role. Right, really simple. Need to know how, send me an email. Piece of cake. Other questions? Comment, yes. 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 It's quite nice, isn't it? It's a third-party control. It's a paid-for control, which is why we struggle to ship the code. What was it called, Rex?
High charts.
High charts. It's kind of awesome, eh? Yeah.
Thank
you. What? Yeah. If you come to tomorrow's session, I'm going to show you something else that's pretty cool. We've built some integration between SharePoint and CRM, and we actually, inside Silverlight, we reinterpret the charting XML for CRM. So we've written a charting XML interpretation engine that renders the charts from that in Silverlight. So it would actually be possible, I think, to create an engine that reinterprets the charting XML for CRM online CRM charts and effectively maps it into high chart charts. So it's kind of cool too. Righto, folks, I look forward to having a beer with you. It is beer o'clock. Thank you all for coming along. Please do your evals. If you thought we were really crap, please leave comments. If you thought we were really great, please leave comments. We love comments as well as evals. But thank you very much, and we'll be kicking around for a few minutes anyway.